good morning, everybody. Welcome to our third live stream. It is great to be here. Of course, we would rather be physically together, but this is a lot better than nothing. This is a lot better than canceling. So it's really great to see everybody connecting and jumping on and greeting each other online. If you are watching through our website and want to be part of the interaction, just scroll down just a little bit and click on the Facebook link. And you can be part of the interaction too. You can answer questions. You can engage with each other. We're trying to make it as close as possible to actually being together. I have a picture of you guys up in front, like right by the camera, so I can remember we're not just talking to a camera. We are together today. I don't know if you've noticed like who is logging on and who's participating, but it's been pretty cool to see the different people jumping in. People who've moved away, people are out of state. Gearshix, welcome back again from South Carolina. Last week we had Greg and Katie here from North Carolina. We got Amber in New York. She was the first one on. So good morning, Amber. Friends and family from Michigan, from all the way out in Colorado have been jumping on throughout. So welcome, those of you who are local and are here right in the area, and welcome to those of you who are from other places and maybe jumping on just for the first time. God is working. God is working. We are more accessible this way than through the live stream than other ways, so we can be thankful for that. Today, we are starting a brand new series called Navigating the Madness. Navigating the Madness, and just going through this time together, one really important aspect of navigating the madness is to keep smiling. We got to keep smiling. One of the best ways to do that is by intentionally watching for and celebrating the good that we have. So even in the scary seasons like the ones we're in, you have reasons to be thankful. You have reasons to be thankful today. In fact, Psalm 103 reminds us of some of the best reasons that we have to keep smiling. So this is going to be a responsive reading. So where you are, you're going to see the words up on the screen and pick either the odd numbers or the even numbers. And you can read along out loud where you are with Shannon and Joanna. And they're going to lead us in this responsive reading all the way through Psalm 103.
Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name.
Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits,
who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion,
who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed.
He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel.
The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love.
He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever.
He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities.
For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great his love for those who fear him.
As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him.
For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust.
As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field.
The wind blows over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more.
But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children.
With those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts.
The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all.
Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word.
Praise the Lord, all his heavenly host, you his servants who do his will.
Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul.
Turn up the volume and sing with us. Thank you. was singing like never before, right? We haven't sung it that way ever. But lots of reasons, lots of great reasons to give praise to God. So I want to give you a chance right now to throw something into the comments. What reason do you have to be thankful today? What reason do you have to say, bless the Lord, O my soul? Go ahead and just type some things out in the comments. Share what are you grateful for right now today. We are live here this morning, and we're on, about a 15-second delay. So as you start typing things in, I'll be able to see them at a very slight delay. But it is great to be together, to be able to sing together, and just to be able to join each other. What do you have to give thanks for today? Just keep on typing those things out as we go. And Isabel says, nice weather. I see that, Isabel. We have a little bit rainy weather here, but that's okay. Yesterday was amazing. Family time, lettuce coming up. Anybody else get to start their gardens early this year? We got our peas in. Pretty cool. Pretty cool. Good. Well, let's take a minute to pray as we have we've come together. We're remembering our great God. He's given us many reasons to give him praise. Lord, thank you that we have these resources. We can come together and praise your name. God, you have blessed us and you will continue to bless us throughout this ordeal, all the way to the other side and well beyond. So God, strengthen and deepen our faith as we come together this morning. I pray that each person who's here will be encouraged and lifted up. So use this time, God, to bless those who are here, those who listen later. God, use it for good. Use it for their good. And honor your name as we think about you, how good you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, navigating the madness. The season that we're in is hard. Right, we're not gonna get around that. Friday we got some good news and some bad news. Right, the stimulus bill passed, so everybody's probably gonna be getting some money in the mail sometime soon. And at the same time, here in Berks County, we got a stay-at-home order, which social starvation is hard. Right, this is not easy. So as I shared last time, what we're doing here, we're just kind of huddling up together and figuring out, okay, how are we going to move forward? What are we going to do next? And just find some encouragement in God's word and encourage each other by being together. So for our huddle this morning, I want to give you two great ways to keep smiling in an environment that wants to steal your smile. And the first one we already started talking about, watch for and celebrate the good that we have. Watch for and celebrate the good we have. The human mind is a fascinating thing. It is far more complicated than I will ever understand. But one thing about the human mind that we know is through it, we have the ability to guide our feelings. We can lead our feelings and lead our heart through what we think about. What I think about has a direct effect on how I feel. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, he said, think about things that are pure, true, noble, right, lovely, admirable, excellent, praiseworthy. Think about those things, because when your mind is there, your heart will be at peace. He says the God of peace will be with you. So in a time like this, it is super important that we pay attention to what we're thinking about. If I spend all day long watching the latest coronavirus news, local news, world news, watching the numbers rise on the global or local coronameter, how do you think that's going to affect my feelings? I'm going to feel more fear, less peace, more panic. But if I balance that with spending time with God, absorbing his timeless truth through the Bible, talking to friends and family about the good we have, the good things God has given us, that's going to help fight that fear. We're going to feel more secure remembering that God is still here. The Apostle Paul wrote a letter called Philippians, which has a command in the very last chapter that I want us to think about today. We're going to be in two passages today. The first one is Philippians chapter 4. So grab a Bible, grab a notebook and a pen, take some notes. I'm going to give you some action steps to take. This is a huddle, right? There's a strategy and a plan that comes out of this. So take some notes, grab your Bible, open to Philippians. It's a very short book in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. That's kind of in the middle of the New Testament. But chapter 4, Philippians, chapter 4, verse 4, simply says this: rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. It's really simply a command to keep smiling. Rejoice. The word means to be glad, to be cheerful, or I really like this definition, to be calmly happy. To rejoice means to be calmly happy. I love that phrase. Kind of feels like we're in an environment where for some of us, maybe many of us, it's difficult to be calmly happy, right? So is this an unreasonable command for a time like we're in? I'm going to suggest it's not, and here's why. Does anyone know where this letter is coming from, where this command is coming from? The Apostle Paul wrote it. He wrote it from prison. He's in prison when he wrote that. He's in a Roman prison, chained to Roman guards when he writes this letter. He's waiting to find out if he's going to be the guest of honor at the next funeral. He doesn't know if he's going to live through the week. And he tells his friends in the city of Philippi, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, you might be thinking, well, that's great for somebody like Paul. He's got that kind of personality, but not all of us have the ability to see the world that way. I'm sorry. Aren't some people feeling that way? Maybe you are. There are just times when I'm not able to be calmly happy, right? Well, I don't think it's necessarily easy for Paul either, because two verses later, verse 6 of the same chapter, he's giving instructions about anxiety. He says, when you have anxiety, when you have fear, take it to God. Bring it to Him. Choose thankfulness. Give Him your anxiousness, and God will trade your anxiety for His peace. Right after this command to rejoice always, Paul gets that we're going to have anxiety. We're going to have worry. We're going to have fear. There are certain thoughts and ideas, especially now, that are going to swell up in our minds. And if we allow them to, if we let them linger, they're going to become so massive they eclipse everything else. And that's how fear gets us. That's why what you see in the grocery store is cleared out aisles, because people have grown, allowed that thought to develop and become this massive panic. Paul says the way to deflate your anxiety is by giving it to God. You want to deflate your anxiety, hand it over to God. So to be calmly happy all the time is not easy, but it is possible. Maybe you're not convinced. Let's look at it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So he says the same thing twice, back to back, very clearly on purpose. I will say it again, rejoice. Seems kind of redundant. But also in these few words, Paul does not just tell you what to do. He gives us a pretty important clue how to do it. You notice the phrase in between rejoice and always? Rejoice in the Lord. The way we can rejoice in any circumstance is by keeping focused on the reality that I am in the Lord. I still have God. So, for example, if my entire family comes down with COVID-19, I pray that it doesn't, but if it did, if that happened, God is still with us. We still have Him. I'm not going to rejoice in having coronavirus, but I still can rejoice in the Lord. In that situation, the blessings of Psalm 103 are all still ours. We have a God who forgives all our sins and heals all our diseases. And you might ask, well, how does that work? We have an eternal mindset. We're not just here on this earth. We have eternity to look forward to. So we will come through this. Either we'll recover in this world, or God will take us home and we'll be healed forever. We have a God who never stops heaping compassion and mercy on us. Psalm 103 is filled with blessings. We have a God who's slow to anger, abounding in love, who doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. He has removed our transgressions from us. We have a God who is forever. And our forever God will one day take us to the forever he's created for us. Nothing can take those things away. So regardless of how close to home this stuff comes, we can be calmly happy in the Lord. Now, I have to clarify, what we're talking about only applies to those who are actually in the Lord. Who are the ones who are actually in the Lord? Who does this apply to? It applies to those who have received the offer of forgiveness through Jesus. The Bible's clear. All of us are either alienated from God by their own rebellion against him, or we are reconciled to God through the forgiveness that was purchased for us by Jesus when he gave his life on the cross. If you're listening in and you're not reconciled to God, if you have not been restored to a relationship with God, you're still on the outside looking into all these blessings that we've been talking about. And there's no good reason to remain on the outside of that, because you're not being excluded. You're being invited right now to enjoy those, to participate in those things. Jesus didn't die for the few. He gave his life for anyone who'll come to him in repentance and faith. So if you're ready to admit your need for Jesus, humble yourself before him, you can do that anytime. You don't need to be in a church. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pastor. You just need a heart that's willing to bow before God in brokenness, admitting your rebellion, your failure, your distance from God. You ask God to forgive you, placing your faith in Jesus Christ as the one, not just to give you forgiveness, but to give you guidance and a new way of life. So maybe you're watching right now and that you're saying, that's me. That is me. You can do that right now. You can be reconciled to God right now. It's just between you and him. Now, if you want to talk to somebody about it, we would be happy to walk with you in that journey. So reach out to us on our website, kutztownchurch.com. Leave a comment here. We will follow up with you. We'll reach out to you. This is really, really important. We want everybody to be part of these blessings, to be able to say, yeah, I can get through this because I still have God and he's going to hold me up. Now, most of you who are watching and listening, you've already put your trust in Jesus. You have a secure relationship with him. So the blessings of Psalm 103 are yours for keeps. And you can rejoice in the Lord always. But even for us, it still takes work, right? It takes focus. We're still human. We still struggle. We forget. So before we move on from this first way to keep smiling in this environment that wants to steal our smile, I want to give you two practical ways to work on that, to keep diving into that and keep focused on those things. At Cornerstone, we call them next steps. So I have two next step suggestions right now before we move on to the second main point today. And the first one is, since Paul spends the entire letter of Philippians celebrating the blessings and being thankful for what God has given him and how God is working in spite of the fact that he's chained to prison guards 24/7, I think a great next step this week would be to read through all four chapters of Philippians. And not just to read it, but make a list of every blessing Paul mentions, everything Paul is thankful for. Just make a list. And this is something you could do on your own. You could grab a friend and do it together. You could do it as a family. There's a lot of ways to do it, but read the whole book and make a list of everything Paul's thankful for. And then there's a second part to this next step, this project. And that would be, after you've made this whole list, make a second column next to it and make another list of the things you have to be thankful for. And look at the first list and see if there's any overlap. Some of the spiritual blessings Paul has, they're yours too. But there should be some unique things that are just true for you. So make two lists. Look at those things and focus on those things and give thanks to God for them. Will you consider doing it? We're here live stream, but you're not here. I can see your picture, but I can't see you. Will you do that this week? Read through Philippians. Make those lists. I would suggest you take a few days to do it. Take some time to work through it. And if you do that, that will increase your ability to rejoice in the Lord always. I believe that will help. There are certain blessings God has given us that nobody and nothing can take away from us. They're ours for keeps. it's helpful to focus on those things. A second next step, which is kind of parallel to that, is to make another... Sorry, I skipped the... The second thing to do is to make a blessing of the day journal and add to it every single day. Just grab a little notebook, a big notebook, whatever you want, and just start adding to it at the end of every day. One blessing after another. What do I have to be thankful for? How have I seen God working? How's it an answered prayer? What do I see? And if you live with other people, this is something you could bring to the dinner table, and you can include everyone in the family. Just add to that every day. So keep smiling by focusing on the things that you already have, that God has given you, that can't be taken away. Two practical ways to do it. Those are two next steps you can do. There's a second great way to keep smiling, and that would be to stay spiritually healthy. Stay spiritually healthy. While we're going through this crisis together, we don't get to connect with each other in the ways we're used to. We can't meet in large groups. We're doing this. This is close. This is great. We can't meet in small groups. As of Friday, we're on a stay-at-home order in our county. Because of that, we are missing something that's profoundly important to our spiritual health: community. So how can we stay spiritually healthy in this season of unwanted isolation? That's an important question we have to wrestle with. Here's what I want to say as we think about staying spiritually healthy. No matter what's going on around us, whether it's now or later, you are in charge of your own spiritual health. Not me, not your spouse, not anybody else. You are in charge. And one of the blessings that's coming out of this season is God is making it almost impossible for you to believe the lie that you're dependent on someone else to keep you spiritually healthy. It's up to you. It is up to you. Something we've talked about a lot over this last year before this madness began is spectator Christianity, where people show up at Christian events and they are content to watch rather than being part of the action. And that's not real Christianity. Spectator Christianity is not what God had in mind at all. It's kind of like if Carson Wentz, Rick Hadley, if you're watching, that's for you. If Carson Wentz were to go to the Eagle Stadium and sit up in the stands for one of his games, he's the quarterback. He doesn't belong in the stands. He belongs out on the field. And in the church, we are not all quarterbacks, but we are all, if we are followers of Jesus, we're all part of the team and we belong on the field, not in the stands. Spectator Christians are people who believe they're Christians, but they're not actually following Jesus with their lives. Attending church, listening to Christian music, going to Christian movies does not make you a Christian. Following Jesus by faith is what distinguishes you as a Christian. We want to be a group here at Cornerstone. We want to be a group of people who are actively following Jesus. And at Cornerstone, we have three words that describe the priorities of an active follower of Jesus. And maybe some of you have been around for a while. You know what those words are right away. You can type them in the comments if you know what they are. Just throw them out there before I even say them. What are those three words that indicate a healthy Christian? I'm going to give it away. Immerse, fuse, radiate. Growing healthy Christians do those three things. What do I mean by that? Growing healthy Christians, they immerse themselves in practical Bible teaching, both publicly and privately. Growing healthy Christians fuse with other believers and pursue application of truth together. And growing healthy Christians radiate God's love by serving others and sharing their story with them. If those three things are new concepts to you, you might need some time to think about that. But if you're tracking with me and thinking about those three concepts, you may be seeing some serious obstacles preventing us from doing all those things well right now. For example, how are we supposed to fuse with other believers? Isn't that how viruses are spread? And radiating God's love in isolation is not exactly easy either. So we're going to have to get creative. We're going to have to change our methods. But these are still priorities that healthy healthy Christians have in their lives. So regardless of the environment we're in, there has to be a way we can do them. Methods are going to change, priorities don't. Immerse, fuse, radiate are three priorities that have been around for a very long time. Methods have changed with the times, but the priorities do not change. It's part of God's church. It's part of what makes a healthy church. So a challenge we're facing right now is figuring out how can we still fuse with each other in a season of mandatory isolation. We have to think about that. So I want to take you back. Here's our other passage. I'll take you back to the beginning of the church. This is a place we've been recently, but this is a place where we can see some of the earliest expressions of these three priorities when the church was first born. So we're going to look at that. It's actually Acts chapter 2. If you've got a Bible, open it up. Acts chapter 2, and we'll look at the early church, what was going on there, and then we're going to see about, okay, how can we come up with new methods, ways in this environment to do those things when we're facing isolation. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. This is the early church right after it was born. A whole bunch of people become new followers of Jesus, and this is what it says, how it describes their environment. What are they doing? Verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is a beautiful passage, a beautiful description of what it was like in the beginning. A few years back, our church did a study of what are the highest priorities, what are all the priorities in the New Testament. We studied the whole thing, and we found immerse, fuse, and radiate peppered throughout the entire New Testament. It's everywhere. But right here in this short description of the early church, we find all three. And maybe you saw them as we read. They're all right there. Immerse, it's right at the top, right at the very beginning. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Things are different now from how they were then. They had the apostles' teaching. We have the entire Bible, right? That early on in the game, they didn't have Bibles at all. They had to find an apostle to get the teaching. And it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Our access to the Bible today is so much easier than it was then. But I dare say many of us are far less devoted than they were. So just a self-evaluation question. Would people say that you are devoted to immersing yourself in practical Bible teaching, publicly and privately? Just consider that. It's really important. Immerse is the first of three priorities which grow healthy Christians. And the reason it's first is because the other two will starve without it. It's essential. It is the message of Jesus. It's the teaching of Jesus, the truth of that Jesus brought us. That's what brought people together in the early church. The promise of forgiveness, the hope in the resurrection. That message is still our foundation today. It's what keeps us grounded. Jesus is the Son of God who died to rescue us from eternal death. And it's our common faith in Jesus that brings us together. Immersing in practical Bible teaching is how we find out what does Jesus want us to do. This is how we learn what it means to fully follow Jesus. But fuse is pretty important too. Fuse is pretty important too. And that's why that's where fuse is where we take what we learn and immerse and we bring it into community. Acts 2, they're not only devoted to the apostles' teaching, but they're also devoted to the fellowship, to the community, to one another. Verse 46 tells us they met together in the temple courts every day. What are they doing? They're talking about the teaching. They're processing it in community. It's like what we tend to do in our home groups. We take the message and the scripture we talked about on Sunday and we hash it out together in groups and we can talk about it. We can process it together. That's healthy. They shared meals together in each other's homes. They enjoyed being together. It was a huge part of their lives. And in those early days, they're all learning, what does it mean to follow Jesus? They're learning it together. As a church, for us, life together has been a pretty important priority for us. Home groups and Sunday mornings, just the connections that we have, the family that we have, being together, it's really important. But for the last 2 weeks and moving on into the indefinite future, we've been told by federal, state, local governments, we may not meet together until further notice. So what are we supposed to do with that? Some people are saying the government doesn't have the right, and people want to fight. No, we're just going to resist. Let me just say something just very clearly. What's happening right now, this is not religious persecution. They're not trying to shut down churches. That's not the goal. This is imperfect human leaders doing their best to fight an invisible enemy that's already taken over 31,000 lives across the world and over 2,200 in our country. The reason we're meeting live stream like this now and into the future until we can meet back together again when it's safe, the reason we're doing that is because we want to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. Some churches have resisted meeting like this. They met together and they spread the virus. We don't want to do that. But what are we supposed to do? When fusing with others is so important to our health as Christians and even as humans. FMZ had an article this morning that Pastor Brian sent to me talking about how important it is for people, and this isolation is hurting a lot of people. They set up a phone number, just a phone number anybody can call just to talk to somebody. We need each other. I am convinced, and I probably don't have to convince you, extended isolation is bad for us as humans. It's just bad for us. But I'm pretty convinced also that COVID-19 is pretty bad for us too. So what do we do? What do we do? We have to look for new methods. We need to find ways to break the isolation without spreading the contagion. This live stream is one way that we're doing that. But it's not enough. It's not enough for Fuse, for real Fuse, for throughout the week. It was okay for a couple weeks, but we're looking at possibly 2 months. We don't know how long this is going to be. So we need what we're doing here, but we need more than that. And you're a pretty critical part of that. This thing, we're still trying to figure it out together. So you can help us. You can help us figure this out. How are we going to do Fuse in this environment? So I ask that you would help us, that you would put your brain juices together and think about what can we do? What ideas do you have to help us Fuse while we're still in this extended isolation? Think about that. Share ideas. You can post them here on the thread, or you can send me an email. You can talk to each other and develop these ideas and pursue them. As you do, as you think about that, remember Fuse is not just connecting with each other, but it's also fusing with other believers and pursuing application of truth together. There's two sides to it. So remember both of those sides. In this environment, one really important ingredient that we need for Fuse to happen in a time like this is personal initiative. This is a challenge to you. Some of you guys are great at this. You're naturals at taking initiative and reaching out to people. Others are not. Some of you work hard to take initiative, even though it's not natural. Some of you just kind of let life happen. Right now, we're in a place where we can't just let life happen. We need more initiative than ever, because the ways we're used to fusing have been taken away from us and they haven't been replaced. Now, one thing we have going for us is we have more ways to connect with each other without actually being physically together than ever in the history of mankind. We have tons of tools, but we need to take initiative to use them. Now, some of you guys are already doing this, and it's great to see initiative happening and people making connections and doing that. The Hadleys were out, and they went for a walk in Kutztown, and they parked outside our house, and they said hello to us from a distance, and then they walked through the neighborhood. And we can do creative things and think about ways to see each other and have brief conversation, brief connection, or even more meaningful connection. I am learning how to use Zoom right now. Maybe you're pretty familiar with it, but it's a free platform for video calling, for conference calling, for one-on-one, or for groups. And I like it better than some of the other options like Skype and FaceTime and some of them. This option seems to have better sound quality and feels maybe a little bit more real as I've used it. But even that, connecting with people that way, it's not the same as meeting together personally. So don't hear me say we can completely replace human-to-human, face-to-face, physical connections. We can't replace that. We're going to miss that. No matter what we do, we're going to miss that. We can't expect to replace it, but we can do what we can. And we can get close, and we can still connect. If you were engaged to somebody, and the month before your wedding, you had to be apart. That happened to Ann and myself when we were engaged 20 years ago. We had to spend the summer apart before we got married. When you're in that kind of scenario with that kind of person in your life, you're going to find ways to connect with them. You're going to make ways. You may not be able to be physically present, but you will find ways, whether you're sending letters or getting on the phone or video calling, whatever, you will do what you can. And I'm not suggesting that you need to have that kind of a that deep of a love, that intimate, an exclusive connection with each other. But I think maybe in this atmosphere, we need to think a little bit like that in terms of how are we going to take the initiative to connect with each other throughout this time. Our relationships are really important. And as you reach out to people, you will be fed and they will be encouraged. So here's one idea. You can jot this down or you can pass. But one idea is the next step I already gave you. What if you and a friend agreed, you know, we're going to do this Philippians challenge together. We're going to read through Philippians. We're going to read it on our own. And then a couple times during the week, we're going to connect with a video call or phone call. We're going to connect and talk about it. That's fusing with other believers and pursuing application of truth together. And depending on your risk tolerance, you could even possibly go for a walk with somebody. Stay 6 feet away, walk down the street, and talk and be physically present. That depends on your risk tolerance and what the governor says. But so far, I think that's still okay. Even a stay-at-home order, you can still get out and get exercise. You just have to be safe and wise. Because this is going to be a lot longer than a couple of weeks, we need to work together to figure this one out. So I'm going to give you another next step option. This is a personal thing that you can do. I thought I had a slide for it, but I don't think I do. Here's an idea. Here's something that I really want you to take seriously and think about. As you are praying for other people in the church throughout this week, and I talked about it last week, you're probably praying more now than you do. So you're praying for each other. You're praying for people in the church. As you're praying, if somebody kind of rises to the top of your mind and they just won't leave, maybe God is pressing them on your mind for a reason. If that happens, as you're praying for people, someone rises to your mind, take the initiative to take the next step. Give them a call. Send them a text, reach out to them, set up a video call, do something to reach out to them. As God puts people on your mind, connect with them. Take that step, take that initiative. We don't have the official setup yet for virtual groups. We may start up some Zoom groups in the near future to do something when we can't do home groups. That may be coming, but in the meantime, you have access to technology and you have connections. If you don't know somebody's number and they're listed in our directory, I will either send you a directory or give you their number if you don't have a way to reach them. So that's just a challenge that all of us need to do this to keep the fuse together, to keep connecting with one another. So I just want to ask you right now, who's ready to take that step, to take that next step? If God puts somebody on my mind, I'm going to reach out to them. And if you're ready to do that and you want to let me know, just send a comment, say, I'm in. Just go ahead and do that. If you're ready to take that next step, if somebody is on my mind, I will take the step to reach out to them. We got to be in this together, and this is a way that you can make a difference in somebody else. So let's go on to the last word. This is what growing healthy Christians do. They radiate. And you see that in the early church. But why is this so important? Why do we have to radiate? Why can't we just immerse in God's word, fuse together with each other? Why is radiate important? Well, you've got to have an outlet to share what God is sharing with you. If you're not radiating God's love by serving others, by sharing your story with them, over time, your spiritual life will resemble a stagnant pond, rather than a reservoir that God fills and then you share. We want to be a reservoir that has flow, not a pond with no outlet. In the early church, we see radiate expressed as radical generosity. People are selling their stuff to help people in need. I want to just read and remind you, verse 44 to 46 of Acts 2. It says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts." These people, these early followers of Jesus, they are radically serving each other. They are sacrificing to meet needs. There are joyful expressions of hospitality everywhere. Radiate is strong in the early church, and outsiders are drawn to it. They're drawn to this radiate. Every day, God adds more and more people to their number. We cannot radiate right now in the same ways that they did. Methods have to change. And we don't like that. We don't like change. Some of you hate change. But there are new ways that we can radiate popping up all over the place right now. Pastor Brian sent out an email to the church list about a way we can serve the medical community that is short, seriously short on masks. They are asking that the community would sew masks. And there's instructions, there's materials, the email says gives all the details. But doctors and nurses are running out of supplies, and we actually could make a difference for them. They're on the front lines. It's a way we can radiate. The grocery shopping service is up and running, fully operational. There are 24 volunteers. The phone calls are starting to come in. The community is so supportive of this effort. They are really glad we're doing it. The borough decided they're going to pay $300 to get an insert put in all their utility bills to get this message out. It's just another way that we're looking to serve people around us. Let's get creative about how we can serve each other and the greater community over the next couple months. As you think about that, also think about health and safety. That's important. Those are important priorities. When we're serving others, we don't want to spread the virus to them. So we have to be careful. We have to think about that. But total isolation is unhealthy and unnecessary. So even if you're connecting by video and keeping the physical germs away, let's not ride this out in total isolation. Let's not just wait. We don't have really that option as a follower of Jesus. So keep your eyes open for safe, practical ways you can serve your own family, your neighbors, your friends, the church family, and the wider community. Just see what God brings to mind and see what opportunities he gives. I want to close by reading a version of Acts chapter 2. I read from the New International Version, Acts 2, 42 to 47. I want to close with I'm calling it a COVID-19 version of this same passage. Now, I wrote it, so it's not Bible, but it kind of parallels what was going on then in our current scenario. So maybe this will help you think through and apply, how do we live this out? This is the COVID-19 version of Acts 2. 42 to 47. All through the coronavirus pandemic, God's people immersed themselves deeply in God's word while in isolation. They connected with one another from a safe distance, and they prayed for one another constantly. Everyone was amazed at how God used this crisis to lead people to greater intimacy in their relationship with God, and many spiritually apathetic people were awakened to a new relationship with Jesus. A great generosity broke out among God's people. Those who didn't lose their jobs freely gave to those in crisis, sacrificing portions of their stimulus money, and some gave even more. They couldn't meet physically, but every day they connected with one another through FaceTime, Google Hangouts, Zoom, and the countless other means available to connect human to human in that day. They watched each other eat by video and kept each other encouraged by sharing their struggles and joys day by day. Their worship increased, and many unbelieving and spiritually broken people became believers and found wholeness through Jesus as they watched God's people serve others in need and through listening to their live stream gatherings online. And the Lord was pleased with his church. Now, I made that up. That's not Bible. But it's a modern interpretation of what God could do through this season we're in. So let's keep smiling by watching for and celebrating the good we have, and by staying spiritually healthy throughout this season. If you have creative ideas of how we can better do that, how we can better immerse, fuse, or radiate in this new environment, I want to hear them. So you can share your email with me. You can email me your ideas and just get those ideas down and hash through them. But let's do this. Let's do this together. We can navigate this madness by keeping those things in mind. And you can keep smiling regardless of where things go, because God has blessed us and He is with us. Let's pray together, and then I will share some announcements and updates on opportunities. God, thank you for the encouragement of your word that is timeless and true. Thank you for the example of your followers from the early days, and for giving us creative ways and means of continuing that with different methods today. Father, I pray that you will fill each person in this church family and those who are listening, those who are in our communities and other churches around. God, you'd fill us with personal initiative, that we'll take that initiative to make that connection, to stay connected when it's hard, when it's less natural. God, we need each other, sometimes more than we realize. And so I pray that you will help to prevent the long-term consequences of isolation by giving us insight, courage, and initiative to break down those walls, to make those connections, to break through the barriers of isolation. And give us courage and love to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're almost done, and I have a couple of things to bring to your attention. One, as we're just starting this series, we'll be here for a few weeks, 4 weeks probably, maybe more. But as you think about it, you're processing, how do I navigate this madness? As questions come to your mind, send them to me. There's an email right there on the screen, ccc@hometownu.com. If you have things that you are just really wrestling with, just not just random questions out of nowhere, but you're wrestling with this. How do I navigate this? What does the Bible say about this situation I'm in? I want to take time to address those questions. And I can't promise I'll be able to address all of them perfectly, or that we'll have all the answers. But we want to know what your questions are, and we will work to research and figure out, what does God have to say about these things? How can we move forward? So we'll talk about them either in these live streams, or we'll send emails out, post them on the website. But we want to interact with that and not just answer the questions that I have, but answer the questions you have. So please feel free to send those questions. Secondly, next steps. I gave you some next step options. I want to really encourage you to take a step, do something between now and next week, whether it's the Philippians thankfulness study, possibly with a friend, or possibly this blessing of the day journal that maybe you'll do at dinner time. But take one of those steps. The third one I gave you was this pray and act. As you're praying for people and God brings somebody to your mind, take initiative. Reach out to them. I know many of you are doing that already. Thank you so much. That matters. It makes a difference. It really does. To see the Hadleys outside of our house made a difference for us. Thank you, guys. So let's keep doing that. Keep doing that. And as God brings something to your mind this week, reach out to them. And the last one, maybe for you, it's making a decision to follow Jesus. You feel like you're staying on the outside looking in. You don't have to stay outside. So if you need somebody to help you with that, please reach out to us. Reach out to us, or somebody you know is a follower of Jesus. And we would love to walk you through that. The third thing I want to mention is generosity. Thank you guys so much. We're in a very different setting, and it's maybe not as natural to give, but many of you are doing that. Cornerstone has always been a very generous church. So I just want to say thank you to those of you who are taking that initiative to take the extra step to continue giving to the ministry as we go through this very different season. Thank you for your generosity. Some of you are sending checks in the mail. Some of you are going online and giving that way. Just thank you for your generosity. And I also want to talk about one thing related to that. There's a giving opportunity coming up. As a church, we don't talk about this kind of thing a lot, but every spring we have a first fruits offering. And that's this idea that as God has blessed us, we want to give out of that to some need, some ministry, whether it's a ministry we want to get behind that's doing a great thing and we want to give that away. But we always give this money away. This year, we're giving all of this money to the needs that come up, people in need in our community during this coronavirus crisis. So if you want to give to the harvest offering, there's never going to be a time where we're together and we pass a plate. You can do that. So you can give through online. You can give through the mail, the snail mail if you want. But if you want to give to that, mark it in the memo of your check that you want that to go to the harvest, the first fruits offering. And all of that money will help people in need. If we still have money left over after all this, it will help people in need after this crisis. So we just want to encourage you to think about that. How might you do that? And one thing I want to mention, as we got this answer from the government, stimulus checks are coming. Some of you really need that money right now. And I'm thankful that it's coming. There's disagreement. You know, some people are saying this is great. Some people are saying we can't afford it. But regardless, it's coming. Some of you need it right now. Use it for your needs. But I've talked to some of you that are saying, I don't really need that right now. I still have my job. I don't need this extra money. I just want to make a recommendation. You don't have to do this. You do whatever you want. But my recommendation is that you take, if you don't need that money right now, put it in an account somewhere safe and hang on to it and see what God might bring your way over the next several weeks, maybe months. Because you may not realize something God's going to bring to you that you're going to need that money, whether it's for your own family or whether it's somebody that you care about who's in need. So I recommend you set that aside. Our family is going to give a portion to the church and a portion to this first fruits offering, but most of it we're going to set aside and see what does God want us to do. Initially, I was going to put it in the stock market and say, hey, it's low now, it'll go up, we'll make a lot of money, and this would be great. But God kind of convicted me about that, said, no, you don't know what this is for. So that's what we're going to do. Just encourage you to think about that, consider that as God's giving us something that some of us don't need right now. There may be a reason God is doing that. So just keep your eyes open for that. And as we move forward navigating this madness, let's walk through this together. We put a hand in God's and a hand in each other's, and we walk through. God is going to carry us through this. So I want to just make this available too. If you're struggling, you're hurting, whether you're part of our church family or you're kind of on the outside, if you need help, let us know. If you need prayer, let us know. We have a prayer team that loves to pray for needs. So reach out to us. You can do that through Facebook, through our website, through email, phone, however you want to reach out to us. And if you find out about a need that someone has that's bigger than what you can do to meet it, let us know. We want to help. We want to work together to get through this. And remember, this is not all about just giving money. We have tremendous power to encourage each other just by staying in touch. So reach out. Use that power. This week, you can be a blessing to other people. If you didn't get to listen to some of the song links that were posted in the comments, I want to just recommend you do that before you click off and click out of here. We're just about done, but there's some songs that they really connect with what we're doing and can really help your heart focus on God. So take a minute to worship God, to praise God through that music. You can sing along if you want. But we're going to close off now. I'm thankful that you joined us today. Thank you that you stuck with us throughout this hour together. And I hope this has helped you to navigate this madness better. We have a lot to be thankful for, a lot to remember that God's done, and stay spiritually healthy. So thank you for being here. I hope you have a fantastic week, and I hope I hear from you, and I hope to see you before next week, but we will be back here again next Sunday. Thank you.